Just in and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Are you serious? Really? The undefeated, the previously undefeated Eagles at home on Monday Night Football, and they lose to my Commanders? Let's go! Most days are bad days when you're a Commanders fan, when you're a Washington football fan. Most days are bad days. You wake up and you're like, oh, what's going on with my team today? Oh, God. Most days are bad days, but not today. Today is a great day. Today is an awesome day. Hail to the Commanders. Hail victory.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
All right, welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry. Something happened last night, Matthew.
Please stop jiggling.
Please stop jiggling.
Now I'm going to jiggle even more. This is a victory jiggle. This is a you like that jiggle. This is a like, whatever, just be glad I'm not shirtless like Schefter. That's right.
This is always going to be a tough
segment. Just be glad I'm not shirtless like Schefter.
Yeah, but he wasn't wearing a hat.
He didn't have the whole costume.
Oh, unbelievable.
Schefter has good hair. I do not have good hair. Any excuse to wear a hat on national television. I have good hair. And you know what else I have? I have a good defense. I have a good run game, at least as of last night. Hail to the Commanders. Hail victory.
All right, let's get it over with. Let's talk about Commanders, Eagles. All right, I'll give you
By the way, point. Welcome into the show. It is, look, I will tell you this. It is noon on a Tuesday on Peacock, but it is 5 o'clock somewhere, and that somewhere is my mind, where we've been partying ever since last night, ever since the Commanders shocked the world. Not me, but shocked the world.
I believe, never in doubt.
I believe the whole way. Burn every tape that I said that they were going to lose. Absolutely not. Look who's back to celebrate. Mini Marlon McIntosh.
Marlon McIntosh.
There we go. He's back as well. We're thrilled. Absolutely. Look, everyone loves a winner. Marlon McIntosh does. Mini Marlon McIntosh. We got a smaller one. I still miss the big one, but whatever.
Matthew Berry wins.
Everybody wins except the Eagles.
Yes. Wrong team was favored by 11 points.
11 and a half. Yeah.
No one believed.
Just me and Mini Marlon.
Yes. Just the two of you.
Just the two of us.
And your hat.
And my hat.
Ridiculous glasses.
Yeah.
The glasses. Schefter didn't have the glasses either.
Thank you.
That's another thing you missed.
Honestly, when you think about the fact that, like, I got the hat, I got the chains, and I'm wearing my shirt, I think 3 for 3 over Schefter's version of it. Yeah.
You did the sweep. Yeah. You're the Commanders.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah. I don't know who his team is, though. You know, he's independent. But I'm a hardcore, and we love you, Adam. And so what I would say here is what a victory. What an amazing victory.
Have we gotten to that yet?
Yeah. Let's get into the game. Let's talk about this.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about it. First, let's hear from Nick Sirianni on the other side.
Oh, yeah. I would love to hear this. Let me drink up these Nick Sirianni tears.
Like, whether the calls were bad or whether the calls were good or whatever it was, I think when you play the way we did tonight, when you play the way we did on all three phases, you know, like offense, defense, special teams, coaching, right? When you play like that, it does seem like it seems like everything's going against you. You create your own luck, and we played like crap. We didn't do a good enough job, and we it feels like things go against you. Those plays, those scenarios that happen when you play like that get magnified, right? Whether it was the right call or wrong call, and so we made our own luck today, and it was bad.
He's right about that. He's right about that. Listen, the officials Let's just get this out of the way, because I've heard from a lot of salty, bitter Eagles fans, like our own Blake Friedman here.
Yeah.
Just bitter, angry, upset,
like a sad.
Gripe. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I'm an Eagles fan. Boo. Yeah.
Didn't know look, tears could get through those glasses.
Yes, exactly. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo. That's what they do. I did that with my kids, by the way. My kids will start complaining. I just, like, it drives them crazy. Oh. They'll start yelling about something, like, you know, well, you, I don't want to go to bed, or, like, don't make me eat that, or whatever. I'm like, oh, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I'm not fun to have as a parent.
I'm going to have this visual stuck in my nightmares for many years to come.
Look, first off, let's just talk about the penalties. Okay, the face mask penalty, the missed one on Goddard, bad call.
Yes.
Just no asked and answered, right? It was a bad call. By the way, officials make bad calls all the time, including in this game, because, by the way, the offensive pass interference on Jahan Dotson that freed up Curtis Samuel, that was a BS call as well.
Sure.
He was clearly running a route. He wasn't intending to try to pick the guy. And, by the way, unintended pick plays, that never gets called. That almost never gets called. So that was a bad call that went against the Commanders. As for the quarterback hit at the end of the game, I said this in the video that I put out on Twitter last night and on Instagram and TikTok. Please follow me on TikTok, because as you can see, I'm hip with the kids. At Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media, except the Fantasy Life app where I'm at Matthew Berry. Here's what I would say. Here's what I would say about that play.
Sure.
Don't put yourself in that position. That's the rule. You can sit here and say, I don't like the rule, and I hear you. And you can say, like, it's BS and it's ticky-tack. And I hear you, and I agree. It is ticky-tack and it's a BS, but that is the rule. He took a knee, there was a beat, and then Graham still hit him. Graham still hit him and Jay Croucher. You're the Eagles. You're 8-0 and you're at home. It shouldn't come down to one play.
Yep, I'm with you.
It shouldn't come down to one play, by the way. And a play that was called correctly. Your issue is with the NFL rules, not the officials on that play. The officials made bad calls on both sides last night, but that wasn't one of them.
The unnecessary roughness was absolutely a penalty. That's absolutely a penalty. There's no issue with that at all. It's the face mask, which was the one, but yeah.
It was both bad, ways. But right, and yes, and should they be able to review that, and they can't, and there's all sorts of issues with NFL officiating, and it's called inconsistently, and all of that, asked and answered. That's not why. Here's the unnecessary roughness. He takes a knee, there's a beat, and then boom.
Yep.
Two guys hit him.
That's
and
fun.
Look at Heineke. We won the Super Bowl. He's up. That's right.
With
I took a knee.
Five, baby.
Boom, boom. Two beats. There's two beats before he gets hit.
It's very clumsy. It's a very silly play.
It's a dumb play.
It really might have cost them dearly, honestly.
Right. And he easily could have stepped aside. He could have held up. There was enough of a space between the time he steps down and they get there that they could have held up and they could have just touched him. Instead, they dove in trying to maybe get credit for the sack. Who knows why they do it? But it's a stupid play, especially from a veteran like that. That's the rule. You don't have to like the rule, but that is the rule.
If the Eagles got the ball back there, it felt like there was 100% chance that they were winning that game. I'm not sure how much faith you had in the vaunted Washington secondary.
They were at home up by 10 against the Vikings last week,
sure.
And they lost.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
All right. Before we jump into the fantasy impact, let's talk a little bit about just overall football impact. That was a pretty shocking result, losing at home as 11.5 point favorites.
And I want to give credit. So a couple things. First off, credit to both. I mean, listen, Ron Rivera, especially, you know, he gets ultimate credit. But, you know, Scott Turner, I thought, called a great game plan. And Jack Del Rio, who I've criticized on this show at the beginning of the year because of the underperformance of the defense stepped up. The defense has played great over the last couple of weeks, but especially this was a terrific performance by both the defense and the offense. Both coordinators, I thought, called absolutely masterful games. And so Scott Turner was like, hey, we're going to just keep running the ball. They kept getting into third and short. They kept converting. They kept running. The Eagles coming into this game I was really surprised that on the broadcast, Troy Aikman was saying, like, wow, I just can't believe they're just taking it to the Eagles like this. And I'm like, I think I'm paraphrasing, but he was surprised by, and I'm like.
You see what Damian Pierce did?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in a game in which the Texans were, like, losing bad and don't have a guy like Terry McLaurin, you know, in that game. Like, they didn't have Brandon Cooks in that game. Like, they don't have, and still, Damian Pierce, like, ran all over them. Like, they were giving up, like, 6 yards a carry to the Texans. Coming into that game over the last month, the Philadelphia Eagles were 27th against the run. They were a bottom five run defense coming into that game. It's one of the reasons why you liked Antonio Gibson over on the rushing. I liked Brian Robinson over on the rushing. Both those ended up hitting. And so, you know, the total scrimmage yards for Gibson did not hit, but he came very close. And they controlled the clock and they ran the ball very, very well. Philadelphia knew it was coming and still couldn't actually stop it. They couldn't get off the field. They kept converting. The Commanders did, kept converting third downs.
Yep. Okay, well, let's talk about the Commanders' backfield. Brian Robinson getting heavy workload. Antonio Gibson, though, gets the passing game work. Who do you want in this backfield going forward?
I think you still want Antonio Gibson. They both get into the end zone here. It's not always that you're going to have the kind of, I get it, you know, Robinson had the 86 rushing yards, but because there is passing game usage for Antonio Gibson, which seems weird to say because, I mean, he was 3-for-14 in this one, they were running the ball so effectively. But this is not going to be the typical game script. This is a team that usually is throwing quite a bit. And so I think both guys are viable, but because there's no passing game usage for Brian Robinson, he needs a touchdown to pay off for you.
Yep.
Gibson has more of a floor because of the passing game usage.
Basically a 50-50 split in terms of snap count. Jeez, they played a lot of snaps last night on offense. And to me, that's the story of the whole game is that, look, everyone's talking about the Eagles' rush defense. Like, the Commanders had 3.1 yards per carry. It wasn't like Dameon Pierce 2.0. It's just the Eagles couldn't get off the field. And
the
Commanders were getting these runs in huge leverage spots and converting third downs at over 50%.
Yeah, everyone wants to talk about the quarterback hit at the end of the game. But, like, look at time of possession.
Yeah.
Like, to me, like, it's insane. Like, look, I mean, you guys know me. Look, if you can't trust somebody dressed like this, then who in this crazy world can you trust?
No one in America.
Thank you very much. The idea here is that, that there was over 40 minutes of possession for the Commanders. Like, I am the first person to dump all over Washington. But last night, objectively, they were the better team, start to finish.
Yep, they played really well. And yes, the Eagles, they turned it over four times, but the Commanders forced those fumbles. Hurts throws the pick. That was another huge reason why they dominated time of possession.
Eagles... I mean, and you can even say, like, it maybe shouldn't even have been that close. Like, at the beginning, like, you know, the personal foul that, you know, and then they get in there quick. I understand people want to argue about the Goddard fumble because of the face mask, and that's 100% just a brutally bad call. It is what it is. But again, I would argue the Dotson call was also pivotal as well, you know, and put them in a third and long, and the, you know, that should have been a completion to Curtis Samuel.
Yep.
So I don't believe that's the reason the Eagles lost this game.
We should mention as well, it's broken that Dallas Goedert has hurt his shoulder on that face mask play, so we'll just have to wait and see with that, but it looks like he is going to miss some time. So just a really bad play for the Eagles at night all around.
Yeah, no question. So we'll talk about tight end options to pick up on the waiver wire. Both Goddard and his former teammate, former Philadelphia Eagles tight end Zach Ertz.
Yep.
Also, so, you know, and with Darren Waller on the IR, chances are you're looking for some tight ends. We have some waiver wire options for you coming up later.
Let's quickly hit the wide receivers, because A.J. Brown's stat line was quite jarring. One reception for 7 yards, 4 targets. Any concern about A.J. Brown?
No, this is a guy who's had over 14 fantasy points in 6 out of 9 games so far this year. Like, you know, bad day at the office. Like, they didn't possess the ball very much. You know, he limped off the field in the first quarter. It looked like there was an injury scare. Who knows if he was maybe less than 100% here. It's his fewest fantasy points in a game this season. Just, again, they didn't possess the ball. Credit Jack Del Rio and the Commanders defense. They had a game plan for specifically for A.J. Brown. It was clear Hurts was going to Devontae Smith. He's going to Quez Watkins. He was looking elsewhere because Brown was so covered, you know, that they basically took Brown out of this game, and Hurts was under pressure a decent amount. And, oh, by the way, they didn't have the ball that much. They just didn't have that many possessions to be able to get the ball to A.J. Brown. If there's a manager in your league that's panicking, I would make an offer for A.J. Brown. As much as I'm sitting here having fun with the Commanders' victory, I still say the Eagles are the best team in the NFC.
Yep. Okay. Just before we move on, and please God, let us move on from the Washington Commanders, but Terry McLaurin. The Commanders didn't win this game because of the run game, because of the defense. They won it because Terry McLaurin looked like a superstar out there. He goes 8-for-128, has a big play on Darius Slay, who also played well against when they played the Eagles earlier in the season. And I think that you're just praying that Taylor Heineke's the guy moving forward.
Yeah, for a variety of reasons, but especially if you have Terry McLaurin on your team. In the 4 games he's played with Taylor Heineke this season, he's averaging 16.6 fantasy points per game, a 32% target share, over 92 yards per game. You compare that, as you see it here on your screen, in the 6 games with Wentz, just a 16% target share, under 4 receptions a game, about 61 yards a game, 11 fantasy points per game. So 5.5 points worse, 30 yards less, 2.5 to 3 receptions worse with Carson Wentz than with Taylor Heineke. By the way, their schedule lines up really nicely.
Oh, yes.
Right? So the Texans are this week, then the Falcons, then the Giants. And the Giants are good this year, but, like, they're not as good as the Eagles, who the Commanders just beat.
Yep.
And then there's a bye, and then they play the Giants again. So they have a very legitimate chance to go 3-1, 4-0 over the next four. I don't think they beat the Giants, but if they could get a split against the Giants, they can beat the Texans and the Falcons, which I think is, you know, reasonable to assume.
Sure. That they're three-point favorites in Houston.
They're three-point favorites in Houston. Atlanta, that'll be tough. They've played tough in every game, but in most games this year, I should say. But, like, those are winnable games for the Commanders. So if they split with the Giants, that's 3-1, and they are 8-6.
Yep.
Going into the end. So I'm just, like, I'm excited. It'll be interesting to see what happens. The last conversation here on the Commanders is, what do you do with Carson Wentz or Taylor Heinicke? Heinicke's been, you know, they've been winning with Heinicke. Objectively, Carson Wentz a better quarterback.
He's better. Yep.
He's a better quarterback. He can make more throws. He's got a bigger arm. He's a better quarterback. He doesn't. I know this sounds insane because Wentz has made some boneheaded plays, but Wentz doesn't turn the ball over. He isn't as gunslingery, if that's a verb. He's not as gunslingery as Taylor Heinicke. But what I will say is, and this is what's the interesting thing, right? So he's not as gunslingery. He's a better prototypical quarterback. You know, he is fundamentally a better quarterback.
I think there's this perception because Wentz was associated with the losing at the start of the season. That wasn't right. Wentz's fault. That was the defense's
Correct.
Fault. Now the defense all of a sudden is pretty solid, and Chase Young as well is coming back
for the
this
Texans
week.
Game.
Last one for you, and I hate talking
about it. But I was going to say is, though, but there is a swagger. There's a swagger to Taylor Heinicke. There is an attitude, and that's been one of the knocks on Carson Wentz, not just in Washington, but at previous stops in his career, is that this is not a guy that gets in your face. He's not like a leader. You know
very
what I mean?
Very low swagger quotient.
Very low swagger quotient. That's right. And that there's, you know, and there's something to be said for where what Heinicke may lack in arm strength or accuracy.
He makes up for in chains. Genuinely.
There's something to be said for, I'm just saying, I think everyone's like, oh, it's definitely going to be Heinicke. I'm not convinced it's definitely going to be Heinicke, but I think it's a conversation. And when Carson Wentz went down, I think people would have been shocked, like, oh, over the next four games, when we're out of these next four games, it's going to be a conversation as to whether or not it's Heinicke or Wentz going forward. Yeah. And I think people would be shocked if we'd said that four games ago.
Absolutely. Last one for you on BetMGM.
And by the way, they should have beaten the Vikings, too.
Yeah, they should have won that game. On BetMGM, Ron Rivera is 250-1 to win Coach of the Year. I don't know, 250-1. If they go 11-6 and make the playoffs,
if they make the playoffs, Wentz, if they make the playoffs with Taylor Heinicke,
there's like a 30-35% chance now they make the playoffs, and Rivera's 250-1. That's very big.
Again, it's a media perception award, and the media loves Ron Rivera.
There's a lot of story around.
There's a lot of story around him, and just everything that's going on with the Commanders outside of the football. You know what I mean? That Ron Rivera has had a tougher hill to climb than a lot of coaches because of everything that's going that has nothing to do with what's on the field.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, let's jump into some Roto World headlines.
If you shake it near the microphone, it makes an even louder sound.
All right. Fortunately, we're gonna get away from all this positivity and all this jiggling. And let's talk about an anti-jiggling headline.
I definitely don't look like an old guy. I definitely don't look like an old guy.
It's even scarier on the screen.
I mean, it really is. Oh, it really is.
Good Lord. All right.
Yeah.
Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp has a high ankle sprain.
To be honest, it's a little mesmerizing too, isn't it? I look like a cross between, you ever see, I don't know if it aired, you know, someone else got in my ear, they used to do these commercials for Six Flags, and it might have been local. Six Flags is a national amusement chain. But they used to have this guy, like Mr. Excitement or something like that he had the big glasses, and he was an old guy, but he would start dancing and have, like, a lot of fun. I feel like I look like that, like a Mr. Magoo.
You know what you look like? You look like a cross between Mike Myers, the actor, and Mike Myers, the Halloween villain, is what you look like to me.
Mr. Six, I'm being told, is the name of him. But whoever got in my ear that said that, I look like him. I sort of look like Mr. Six. By the way, nothing to be proud of. By the way, Mr. Six looked ridiculous.
I would certainly.
Whatever. You know what? Whatever. Right. We're 5-5, baby.
Five
we were 1-4
baby.
At one point. Now we're 5-5. We should be 6-4. Right, Taylor Heinicke for president. All
right, in the playoff mix. All right, Cooper Kupp's got a high ankle sprain.
Now you gotta kill my buzz.
Yes, initial X-rays were negative, so it doesn't look like a fracture, but it is a sprain, and it's looking like he might be out for a meaningful amount of time. We will get into Van Jefferson and his spot on the waiver wire. We'll talk a little Allen Robinson for better or worse. But obviously a huge shame with Kupp going down as the Rams season gets even worse.
Well, and that's the concern here, right? So their upcoming schedule at New Orleans, at Kansas City, home to Seattle, home to Vegas. You don't feel good about the Chiefs or the Seahawks game. Can they beat New Orleans on the road? Maybe. Can they beat Las Vegas at home without Cooper Kupp? Maybe. But, like, the fact of the matter is over the next four games, if they go 2-2, so even one, you know, if they go 1-3, he's their franchise guy. And, you like, do you just – that's the question. Has he played his last game for the Rams? Because even if he's, quote, healthy enough to come back and say, I'm making up a date, week 14, week 15.
What's the
if the Rams are out of it, why are you bringing him back, right? And I'm just – I'm asking – as somebody who has Cooper Kupp on a bunch of dynasty teams that are all like in first or second place, I desperately need Cooper Kupp to come back, yeah. Like, because I've built these teams to compete this year in a big way and they're all rolling. So I really want my little Cooper Kupp to come back selfishly, but looking at him objectively, like, why would you? He's gotten paid. He got his deal, right? I mean, they got the Super Bowl ring. They're not winning this year. He's their franchise guy. Why are you going to bring him back and risk further injury?
He also played 21 games last year, and he takes an insane amount of punishment, amazing blocker, and also, yeah, he just takes a lot of hits, and he had a lot of receptions to take a lot of hits last season. So, I mean, the Rams, it feels like their season is just done at this point, and I wouldn't see why they would need to certainly rush him back,
yeah.
Let alone bring him back at all. All right, let's talk about Jerry Jeudy, who escaped a major injury, which it looked like he might have had in real time, but he's got a minor ankle injury. Any interest in the next man up, the great Kendall Hinton?
No.
Okay. Sorry, Kendall.
No, I mean, like, Jerry Jeudy was inconsistent, and he's better than Kendall Hinton.
You don't want shares of the Broncos pass game?
No, I mean, I mean, other than Dulcich, you know, who ran a ton of routes, like, you know, nothing last week that makes you excited. Now, they're playing Vegas at home this week.
Right.
I mean, that's a nice matchup. Cortland Sutton might make my love list this week. But yeah, I mean, you know, listen, to me, that's the benefit here is that Sutton, who was a fantasy starter, then you went back here. Sutton had 11 targets last week. So for me, especially in a matchup against Las Vegas, I think you feel good about Cortland Sutton and the amount of targets he'll get in this one. But yeah, I'm not interested in any other Jerry Jeudy replacement.
No. Okay. Let's jump into waiver-wired running backs.
Okay.
And first of all, let's look at the notable running backs on bye headline.
I'm sorry. Oh, did you ask me to look at the notable running backs on what bye?
Oh, God, no.
I'm looking.
Oh, it's a tough
second. Who are some of the notable running backs on bye?
Oh, we gotta get Connor Rogers has got to replace me next time the Commanders have a win.
This is
after.
Just, by the way,
Connor, please.
A lot of visual jokes going on here for those listening at home in a podcast. Just, you know, it also is worth checking out on demand on Peacock or on the NFL on NBC YouTube channel.
I reckon the podcast is the play for this episode.
No, the visuals are here. You stepped over my plug there, the NFL on NBC YouTube channel. You can see this on demand as well.
This is a great channel. All right, Ken Walker's on bye. Leonard Fournette, and maybe more to the point, Rashad White is on bye as well. Travis Etienne, Jeff Wilson, Raheem Mostert. They're all out, so we'll tell you who to pick up. And as we look at what they have done this season.
You've got five running backs inside the top 30. And Wilson and Mostert, you know, especially Wilson, who's come on lately. Walker and Etienne, both top 20 running backs. And those are guys that didn't really start as the guy in their backfield
Rashad
as well.
Rashad White should be top 30 the rest of the way.
I would think so as well. So you've got six running backs that, you know, matter to you that are not playing this week. So chances are you need a running back.
Yep. And I think probably the hottest name among running backs is going to be Elijah Mitchell, who all of a sudden is in a 50-50 timeshare with Christian McCaffrey. I don't know why they sold the farm to get a split backfield going, but Elijah Mitchell was basically getting half the work against the Chargers.
We want to bring him up right now just because he is available in about 42% of Yahoo leagues. My guess is in most competitive leagues he's not, but we bring him up, so it is worth checking to see if he's out there in yours. We don't think he's widespreadly available, but which is sort of a word. But to your point, that even with Christian McCaffrey active and 18 touches for CMC, Elijah Mitchell still saw 56% of the team's running back carries. You know, this is somebody who had 19 touches, as you mentioned, in Week 10. You know, he caught one pass there. You see it there on your screen. But, yeah, given it sort of makes sense. Both these guys are super talented. Both these guys have had extensive injury histories, and so wanted to keep both of them a little bit safe and healthy, split up the workload. It does feel like that they want to go. They still want to be fairly run heavy in San Francisco. Their defense is going to keep them in most games. So as a result, they're going to be able to run the ball and have a balanced offense. So Elijah Mitchell, not only for the upside if anything were to happen for CMC, but because it seems like he is going to have, you know, over 40% of this San Francisco running back shares, worth picking up if he is out there in your league.
Yeah, definitely. If I was a CMC manager, I would be concerned that this has happened after they've had their bye. Like, McCaffrey's integrated into the offense now, into the playbook, and he's still had less carries than Elijah Mitchell, which is a little bit of a concern over a guy who 3 days ago we thought was going to be the clear number one guy in fantasy the rest of the way. Not looking like that anymore.
I think he still could be, though. I still think, I mean, like, if you're drafting again today, how far down in the draft are you getting before you take Christian McCaffrey? If you wanted to take Saquon Barkley ahead of him, I get it. You know, if you want to take
Jonathan Taylor
or Eckler, I mean, it's one game for Taylor against the Raiders. He's in that top five. I think I'm probably still taking McCaffrey one.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I mean, even with, look.
I think, like, I'd take Saquon.
Which is fair. Like, I mean, I think it's really there between Saquon and CMC. I'll just say that, like, he had 18 touches. Like, if you're telling me Christian McCaffrey's going to get 18 touches a game in a Niners offense, I'm good.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out with Elijah Mitchell. They're still going to use Christian McCaffrey in high leverage situations, in the red zone, in scoring opportunities. He's Christian freaking McCaffrey. Like, if you want to go Barkley ahead of him, I get that. I got no issue or beef with that. And make it no mistake, I'm down for some beef. I'm ready. Bring it on. Who wants it? Let's go, Blake Friedman, you dumb Eagles fan. Let's go. Come on.
Yeah.
We need
to get vegetarian. let's go to Rashad White, who is on a bye, but it seems like the reporting is saying that Rashad White might be the guy regardless of Leonard Fournette's injury, which doesn't seem that serious in any case. And Rashad White should obviously be rostered in every single league and started every week until further notice.
We've been saying this for quite some time about picking up Rashad White. Now that he's on a bye this week, so if you need somebody for this week, he ain't your guy. But when we just think about running backs that play with Tom Brady, especially in November and December, even in Tampa Bay, that has a lot of value. You heard Brady in the postgame press conference talk about how important it is for them to be able to run the ball effectively, to set up play action, to make it a more balanced offense that makes him more efficient. It's super important to what he wants to do. And so Rashad White, who had 105 rushing yards in Germany, that's the most rushing yards by Bucs running back since week one, and looked, by the way, more explosive than Leonard Fournette prior to the injury. I mean, just prior to the injury, I think in the worst-case scenario for Rashad White, it is a 50-50 split. And the best-case scenario is that Fournette is still a little bit banged up when they come out of the bye, and that maybe it's 60-40 White, or even that he gets the full start because Fournette is not ready to be the guy when they come back in Week 12. Remember, when Fournette went down, Rashad White played 80% of the snaps.
Yep, all-time NFL record leader for rushing yards in Germany, Rashad White.
Yes.
He's definitely the guy that you want. Let's talk about Isaiah Pacheco, who's 76% available, and Jerick McKinnon, 84% available. Now, Isaiah Pacheco is a very kind of, you know, sexy name at the moment. I'm not really sure that he should be, though, because he's only getting first and second down work. He's not playing third downs. He's not getting any pass game work in the red zone. That's a question as well. And also, the Chiefs throw the ball more than anyone.
You know what he's like?
Oh, no.
He's like, no, I'll tell you exactly what he's like. He's a little, what you just described is basically Brian Robinson.
Okay.
Of my Commanders, who, as you know, won last night.
Missed six.
But to your point, right? Like, I mean, he is touchdown dependent. It is a pass-first offense. He's not going to have any passing game usage. He had a 57% snap rate this past weekend, third highest by Chiefs running back so far this year. But you're right. Like, I mean, he had 82 yards. like, you know, he's not going to – if he doesn't get into the end zone, that's what – it's going to be 7 to 8 points, which is fine. I mean, like, in 7 to 8 points with potential for a touchdown, that's usable as a flex. So we think you should pick him up. We just want to, you know, caution that it may have been a game script thing. I don't know that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is completely done. Who knows? You know, that, it was sort of weird.
Yeah.
But it does feel like they seem to like Pacheco. The important part to me was after Pacheco fumbled, he came back in. They still went to him. They didn't, like, bench him. He's had double-digit carries in three different games this year. He's averaging over 5 yards per carry in all of them. So there's more explosiveness and more between-the-tackle strength to him than I think CEH. And then you think about, okay, well, what about the passing game? Well, Jerick McKinnon, the other guy you mentioned there, is frankly better in the passing game, right? He's actually played more snaps than any other Chiefs running back this season, 55 to be exact. He's had back-to-back games with 8 targets and 6 receptions. And he's fully healthy. There was somebody that they used a lot in the playoffs last year as well. So coming back healthy, feels like McKinnon and Pacheco are the guys. One's the early down guy, one's the third down and passing down back. But I think McKinnon has a, as long as we're talking Commanders, and we are, and by we I mean me.
We're always talking.
No, but
Commanders.
Like, yeah, he's kind of a J.D. McKissick type.
Oh, well, you're just going to compare everything to a Washington Commander for the end of time.
That's,
yeah, Patrick
but
Mahomes.
Fantasy is kind
like
of a Taylor Heineke.
Jason Campbell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, stop with Jason Campbell.
Good thing about
yeah, Brad Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever.
All right, let's break down these three big names.
No, but I'm saying fantasy wise, they're different players. Like, but I'm just saying, like, J.D. McKissick had use. Was flex when J.D. McKissick was healthy, especially last year, in 12-team or deeper PPR leagues, J.D. McKissick was like a viable flex, and that's what I think McKinnon is.
Yep. Okay. Pacheco, Mitchell, White. How are you ordering those guys? 1, 2, 3 in terms of priority.
Yeah, I think it depends on what you need, right? And this is also like, how much fab should I spend? I've been holding on to the number one waiver pick. Do I use that? It all depends. Are you 7-3 and loaded at running back? Then to me, Elijah Mitchell, because you don't need him this week, or Rashad White, those are guys that have more upside. To me, if I'm in that situation where I feel pretty good at my running back room, 7-3 or whatever or better, like I know I'm making the playoffs, Rashad White has the most long-term potential and upside. But I need somebody this week. I need a live body this week because I'm missing both ETN and Fournette. To me, Pacheco is the guy against the Chargers. The Chargers are a brutal run defense.
Yes, they are. And they don't have any defensive tackles left at all, so they're in trouble. All right, let's talk about...
Over the last 4 weeks, only one team in the NFL has given up more rushing yards per game to more rushing yards per game, period, than the L.A. Chargers. So Pacheco, who should get the majority of the work, he'll be on the love list this week as a flex play.
I've actually never seen anything like that happened against the 49ers, where they literally ran out of defensive tackles, so they had to blitz every single play at the end because it was the only way they were going to clog up the gaps. All right, let's talk about Jaylen Warren, who was one of the big names of last week in terms of the murmurs that Najee Harris was going to be sidelined out of the role that he had. Well, not the case. He got 20 carries. Yep. Still any interest in picking up Jaylen Warren, who's available in 73% of leagues?
Yeah, I am interested in Warren. Like, there was kind of, you know, shots fired for Najee Harris, and I think he got the message, right? But the fact of the matter is that Jaylen Warren, as you see it there on your screen in terms of what the two guys did against the Saints, like, Jaylen Warren had 40 receiving yards, which, you know, he ultimately had 12 touches. It was his second straight game with over 75 yards from scrimmage. He's averaging 6 yards per touch so far this season. Harris just 3.8. They host the Cincinnati Bengals in a divisional matchup this week. So Warren, again, a lot of upside because if anything were to happen to Harris, Warren would immediately be vaulted into kind of a top 15 running back. But at the moment, I think he's a 12-team or deeper flex play. He's kind of like Jerick McKinnon.
Yep.
With slightly less upside than McKinnon because you'd rather somebody on the Chiefs offense than the Steelers offense because Kansas City's going to be in scoring position more often.
Yep. Mike Tomlin has just said that Najee Harris has some knee discomfort, but he will still be able to play in games. It's just something to monitor and another reason why Jaylen Warren should be on your bench.
By the way, I'm reporting that Jay Croucher has some host discomfort.
Yeah, I'm playing through it.
Right, exactly.
Playing through it. Yeah, the chains are tough, but... And the jiggling's even worse.
The interesting thing is, like, because I studied the Kirk Cousins video, and then I studied Shefty's parody of it.
What is this like?
Right? And it's the hands have to be close. The arms and hands, like, close. Like, they don't, like, it's not a lot of this. It's a lot of, like, just this. Wow. And I don't know what this is. This is like the, is this like a dad move or something like that? But it's a lot of, like, just the hand. It's like a choo-choo train kind of thing, like, where your hands are sort of close together. Your arms are close, and your elbows are basically on your side, and you're sort of like, it's kind of a rock'em sock'em robot thing that they've got going on. And watch the videos.
I imagine this is...
And it's a little bit of a hips. I don't know what's going on there.
Imagine this is the exact same stuff Daniel Day-Lewis did with Abe Lincoln before.
Probably.
Before Lincoln, the same kind of
method acting right here. Yeah. Well, you understand. You understand I take my role serious.
Like,
I mean, because as you...
Daniel Day-Barry.
Thank you very much. I mean, because, like, you know what Daniel Day-Lewis is?
What's he?
Not the highest grossing actor on a per movie basis in Hollywood box office history.
Wow.
Because you are talking to the person that is.
Yeah.
On a per movie basis.
Yes.
I'm the highest grossing actor of all time worldwide.
The jiggling continues even when physically it's not...
I'm just saying. So,
back.
I mean, don't question my thespian schools.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of Daniel Day-Lewis and There Will Be Blood, let's talk about the waiver wire and potential cuts.
Right, sure.
Here are the most dropped running backs on Yahoo, headlined by Eno Benjamin, who is looking for work.
Kyron that was Williams. A weird one.
I didn't get that. I feel like he's the best running back on the team, arguably.
I feel like I don't want to cast any aspersions. It feels like there's more to that story, and I don't know what it is.
A bit of an aspersion.
I'm not saying why. I'm not saying, I don't know if it's on Eno's side or the Cardinals' side or that. Just it's just that's a weird one,
yes,
right?
Very strange.
We have to acknowledge that on a team that has a running back that's injury prone, to release the guy that had been their starter a couple of weeks ago and performed well. It out of the blue, like, why are you releasing him? It's not like there was a corresponding roster move either.
No.
They just got rid of him. So it does feel like there's more to that story from one of the two sides. Here, the guys that are interesting here of these guys, Deion Jackson, I get that, you know, with Jonathan Taylor's back, but there's still that Nyheim Hines role available. And Matt Ryan, as good as he looked last week, he's still going to dump off. Like, there's still, like, you know, seven touches. So Deion Jackson, I think, and given Taylor's injury history, I think he's sort of interesting as well. Khalil Herbert, like, he left the game, and so I get that, but, like, he's been really productive. We don't know how injured he is. Those are ones that I probably wouldn't be as keen to drop that. And any of those players, like, again, you're dropping them if you need somebody there, but I'm not actively looking to drop, you know, some of those guys.
Yep. Okay. Look, I think...
No, like, if you wanted to hang on to, again, like, Deion Jackson is somebody, like, Chuba Hubbard, given how well, you know, if anything were to happen to Deontay Foreman, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, he was really good, and then his usage has been trending down, and then just no usage last week. But, like, you never know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yep.
So...
All right. Well, do we have something on Mr. Six? Mr. Six.
Okay.
All right, let's go to it.
That's Mr.
Oh,
Six.
Oh, no.
See?
That's actually eerily similar.
I'm just saying,
that's not
right.
Good for you, Matthew.
We're showing you
that's not good for you at all.
Well, right, but I mean, I it's like, it is. I actually have hair unlike Mr. Six. I don't have a lot of hair, but I have more than Mr. Six,
it's
but
like,
it's sort of.
It's like watching
I'm probably not as nimble.
It's like watching the two Gwyneth Paltrows in Sliding Doors.
Yeah, exactly right.
It's basically the same type
of
thing.
I mean, no one actually knows the identity of Mr. Six. Maybe it's me.
Maybe it
was a tour de force.
It was
maybe
the
I am.
Talented Mr.
Maybe
Roto
I, yeah,
all
exactly.
along.
Maybe I am acting.
All right. Please, God, let's get to break. And when we come back, we'll talk about wide receivers to pick up. Christian Watson or Kadarius Toney. Mr. Six will break it down.
Come on back.
Justin and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Christian Watson suffered another brain injury this past week, the second in 2 weeks. Really unfortunate for the rookie. Can't stay on the field. Hope he's okay, but I think that he has a clearer path to upside than Alec Pierce. Oh my God, I must spit on my coffee. that could have been bad. That's okay. We could have edited it out. It's no problem, right? No, I'm hearing no. They're saying no. I would have just spit coffee all over my computer and it would have sizzled and died.
All right, there's Denny Carter. No robe this time, but a penchant for
choking on his own coffee, but a fake earpiece, yeah, and coffee and asking to edit something out of a live broadcast.
Fake interns. I worry about Denny sometimes, but after our show, if you want more,
I feel
rock
like he's
got
to have at least one real friend. I know he's got a lot of imaginary stuff going on in his life.
Internet friends,
sure.
Coffee mugs,
yeah.
Inanimate and kill him. Thing.
I'll be look. Mr. Six will be his friend.
Yeah. Now listen, go to our YouTube page.
I wish we could do. We need to figure out a way to do live
let
polls.
Me read this off,
No. We need to figure out a way to do live polls during the show, because I would take a poll as to whether I should take this off or not. I'm keeping the jersey on.
Yeah.
My 00 jersey. This was especially designed. It's Maddie. I'll turn around. The NFLPA. My friends at the NFLPA sent this to me. See, M Exotic. It's Maddie Exotic. Uh-huh. It's a whole thing that, I should put up a Twitter poll, but then I'm gonna. I should. But all right, what are we doing? Let's wide receiver waiver wire.
Let's get into wide receiver. But firstly,
real quickly, as long as we're talking wide receivers, you're going to get the Cooper Kupp news.
Yeah. So Cooper Kupp is having ankle surgery. He's going on IR. He'll miss at least 4 weeks. Looks like it might be a bit longer than that as well. So, what are you taking your cat off for your little Cooper Kupp?
Yeah. It feels disrespectful.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's go straight to wide receivers.
You know what? I like the hat.
All right. You know who doesn't like the hat? All the wide receivers on bye.
Yeah.
Headline bye, the great Tyreek Hill, the best receiver in the game, along with Justin Jefferson and Cooper Kupp. Jalen Waddle is out too, naturally. Christian Kirk, Mike Evans, Tyler Lockett, Chris Godwin, DK Metcalf. That is a murderer's row of receiver talent. They're all out, so we'll tell you who to pick up. And we're going to start off with your man, Kadarius Toney. He's not really been your man. You weren't that
hot. He hasn't been. He's definitely not my man. Here's the positives of Kadarius Toney. Incredible talent, just from a pure skill standpoint. Right? We know he's really, really talented. Had 90 total yards and just 6 touches last week. 2 for 33 as a rusher, 457 and 1, the touchdown being there as a receiver. So again, just seeing the versatility and the different ways that the Chiefs can use him. He was targeted on 30% of his routes. He played 44% of his snaps, which is significantly up from week 9 when he played just 9%. That's all the good stuff. Oh, by the way, he plays for the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. The bad stuff is that even in his best game, small sample size, but even in his best game for the Chiefs, he played under 50% of the snaps. Juju Smith-Schuster left this game early. Mecole Hardman was inactive for this game. What is Kadarius Toney's role when both those guys are back, maybe as soon as this week? And then they're using, obviously, Kelce in the passing game. They've got McKinnon. They've got, MVS. They've got a lot of weapons there. Can you count this year for consistent fantasy value on Kadarius Toney when you've got all these mouths to feed?
Yeah, I think, look, Patrick Mahomes is on pace to basically break the all-time passing yards record, and those yards have to go somewhere outside of Travis Kelce, and I think that Kadarius Toney is probably the most talented wide receiver on the team, and he's done that in Game 2 with Mahomes, so I think there is upside. They didn't throw it much on Sunday because they didn't have to because they were playing with the lead the whole time, which I know they tend to do, but still, I think there is a fair bit of upside in Kadarius Toney. Do you prefer him to Christian Watson?
It depends on, again, what you need. If I'm starting somebody this week, I feel better about Christian Watson and his role going forward against the Tennessee Titans, right? 4 for 107 and 3 touchdowns. He played on 85% of the snaps. His 42% target share last week was obviously very encouraging in the fact that he produced and the Packers won. You figure Aaron Rodgers is going to go back to him. We'll see if Romeo Doubs returns as well for the Packers. But I like the matchup for Watson against the Titans better than Kadarius Toney against the Chargers. Again, I feel like Watson is has a clearer path to significant targets consistently than Kadarius Toney, even though Toney might be more talented and be on a more explosive offense. So if I'm in that 7-3, I'm 6-4, I'm 8-2, and I feel pretty good about where I am in the league and I feel like I'm definitely making the playoffs and I just want to swing for the fences, grab a stash guy and, you know, we'll see what happens. That's Kadarius Toney.
Yep.
The biggest upside. But hey, I need to start somebody this week. I'm 5-5. I'm 6-4, but it's all bunched up. This is a must win for me. To me, Watson is your guy. Again, he's available in 91% of leagues. Kadarius Toney, just 49% available. He may have been picked up. He was definitely picked up in a lot more leagues when he went to the Chiefs.
Yep. And I think Watson definitely has a lot of upside as well to come
to. No question.
So either of these guys, do you blow your fab budget on them, you know, in the vein of Ken Walker a few weeks ago, or not quite in that tier?
Not quite in that tier. Again, like, both guys had huge games, but both guys, there were extenuating circumstances as to why they had the huge games they did. In the case of Watson, again, no Doubs, no Randall Cobb. You know, playing a defense that they, you know, that seemed to really focus on trying to stop Alan Lazard.
Yep.
You know, and then obviously, as we talked about with Toney, great matchup with Jacksonville, but also no Hardman, mostly no Juju.
Three touchdowns, probably not going to happen again in a single game for Christian Watson.
Correct.
Let's talk about Donovan Peoples-Jones. Not as exciting of a name as Toney or Watson, but I mean, there's a decent chance he might outproduce those guys the rest of the way just because of his consistency. Past six games, he has been extremely consistent on a Cleveland team that their season's going south, but Deshaun Watson is coming, and they're needing to throw the ball more as they're behind in a lot of games, and DPJ has been the beneficiary.
Since week four, he's had a 21% target share. He's a top 32 fantasy wide receiver. Not great, but, like, usable. I mean, that's what Donovan Peoples-Jones is. He's usable. 11 or more fantasy points in 5 of the last 6 games. Definitely seems to have a connection with Jacoby Brissett. And after Amari Cooper, he's absolutely the Browns pass catcher you want. It's worth noting that in week 13, Deshaun Watson is eligible to return. We're going to talk about him coming up in the quarterback section. But again, in theory, there's a chance that there is a better quarterback from a skill standpoint coming into the team, and a quarterback that we've seen in his previous stop of Houston really liking to throw deep, which is part of DPJ's game.
Yep. All right, let's move on to Paris Campbell, now in the rejuvenated, feel-good, Gene Hackman, Keanu Reeves-style Indianapolis Colts movie.
Yeah.
Headlined by Coach of the Year Jeff Saturday.
Undefeated.
Paris Campbell with Matt Ryan at quarterback. He seems like a viable fantasy option going forward.
He's had 3 games, his last 3, with Matt Ryan at quarterback. And in those last 3 games, he's averaging over 20 fantasy points per game, 32 targets in those 3 games, 24 receptions, 3 touchdowns. You know, he's averaging a touchdown a game. He's averaging over 10 targets a game, you know, over 7 receptions a game. In fact, he's had at least 18 fantasy points in every single game, the last 3 games that Matt Ryan has started. And part of that is because there seems to be a connection. Part of that is because Paris runs a lot of his routes. He's the slot guy, so he runs a lot of his routes close to the line of scrimmage. Ryan's, despite what we saw last week, still not the most mobile guy in the world, and so he was dumping it off to Paris Campbell a lot. Yes, as long as Matt Ryan is the starting quarterback for the Colts, I think that obviously Michael Pittman's value goes up, but Paris Campbell will have success and value. They play the Eagles this week, the Colts do, so obviously an angry Eagles team. Because the Eagles, I don't know if you're aware of this, but they lost
to
my Commanders
on
national television.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, everyone was watching. They were 8-0.
Yep.
They were 8-0, and they were at home. And they played the Thursday night game the week before. So they had, like, 11 days.
Yep.
You know, they had, like, kind of an extended, a mini-bye, if you will. They had 11 days to prepare for a primetime home game against my reeling Washington Commanders.
Not reeling anymore.
And no. Now and they lost. Now so now they're going to be very angry. They're going to be upset. They're going to be bitter. They're going to be, you know, pissed, if you will.
Yeah.
Angry, you know, scarred. Okay. And they're going to take that out on the, you know, Indianapolis Colts.
All right. Let's go and take a look at the most added wide receivers on Yahoo and look at some other potential pickups. Christian Watson, as we said, he should absolutely be rostered. Anyone else stand out on this name, on this list of names?
Well, look, I mean, I think Darius Slayton has kind of established himself as sort of, we keep hoping for Wandell Robinson to become a thing, but while we keep waiting, Darius Slayton has at least 11.5 fantasy points in 4 of the last 5 and over a 20% target share. He has become that thing. Van Jefferson suddenly becomes interesting with the news that Cooper Kupp's going to miss at least the next 4 games. Doesn't look like OBJ is coming either, and we'll see what happens with Allen Robinson. But Van Jefferson is young and talented. We expect him to get some love. And then finally, how about Nico Collins there, who last week, a 27% target share, has had double-digit fantasy points in 3 of the last 4. And for whatever reason, it seems like they are out on Brandon Cooks.
Yep, not going well for Brandon
Cooks.
No, hasn't been the season he was after. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk quarterbacks. Marcus Mariota, Taylor Heineke, Carson Wentz, all the big names.
That's too far.
One more jiggling to come.
Justin and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
You know what I'm talking about? Like it's an animated, It's like
explain
a stuffed animal.
It's
a stuffed animal, a monkey, and he's just like, he's doing this.
Yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a gif.
Yeah, it's a great impression of it, too. Yeah, it's a lot better.
I'm sort of like.
It's a lot better than your
own. You know what I'm talking about, though?
Yeah, I do know.
Okay, then it is a great impression.
I have no idea what you're doing with your Go Bolts Go, whatever the Schwarzenegger thing is, but yeah, that kind of gives an impression of what you're doing.
Eerily close. That's eerily close.
Between that and the jiggling, it's been a strange 24 hours on the set of the Fantasy Football Happy Hour, let me tell you.
Yeah, welcome from Australia.
Yeah. All right, let's jump into some quarterbacks, including Well, you know who's the least jiggly quarterback in the NFL?
Jalen Hurts.
Marcus Mariota, probably.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
He's not super jiggly.
Yeah, but we actually think he could be okay against the Chicago Bears this week. He's available in 67% of leagues. Like, you know, on the season, he's the 11th best quarterback in terms of total points. He's just 17th on a points-per-game basis. You know, a lot of it's just been sort of volume. But he's kind of a poor man's, and by poor man's, I mean like really, really poor, desperate,
yes.
Desperate, desolate, poor man's Justin Fields because of the rushing, right? I mean, like, that's really the calling card for him. He's had at least 40 rushing yards in 4 of the past 6 games. And in those 4 games where he had over 40 rushing yards, he's had over 17 fantasy points. It's a nice matchup with Chicago for this reason. Bears allow the 7th most rushing yards per game to opposing quarterbacks. They're tied for the 2nd most rushing touchdowns allowed to quarterbacks. And so, Marcus Mariota, I think is actually semi-viable this week if you're looking to, you know, replace a... Replace a Tom Brady, a Trevor Lawrence.
Yep. Okay. Unfortunately for America, we've got to go back
a
and
Geno
talk about
Smith,
the Washington
a Tua,
Commanders.
Tagovailoa.
Yeah, some good QBs who are missing this week. But let's talk about Taylor Heineke and Carson Wentz again. What are we doing with this situation with Wentz eligible to come off IR with a very nice matchup against the Houston Texans?
Yeah, let's see if they announce who the starter is. It feels like it's going to be Heinicke as we sit here today, but I don't know. We will see. And it's worth noting that Wentz, in three of his six starts this year, had over 22 fantasy points, had over 300 yards passing, and prior to his injury was sixth in pass attempts. Like, they want to throw, they can, they'll certainly be able to throw against a Texans defense that is 29th in scoring defense over the, you know, the last 4 weeks.
Yep. Matt Ryan, don't think too much interest in him going up against Philadelphia. They're going to be running the ball with Jonathan Taylor, but what do we do with Deshaun Watson, who's coming back in week 13?
Look, it feels very disrespectful and silly to be talking about Deshaun Watson in a fantasy football context, especially while wearing this stupid getup, right? You know, so, but we are a fantasy football show. So putting aside the awful allegations about Deshaun Watson and not trying to minimize that, and there's a lot of people that rightfully so feel like he shouldn't even be in the NFL this year. The fact of the matter is that he is eligible to return in week 13. We are a fantasy football show, and from a fantasy football perspective, he has value, right? I mean, he is going to be a starting quarterback. All three of his full seasons he's played in the NFL, he's been a top five fantasy quarterback. Now, it'll have been over a year since Deshaun Watson played meaningful football, and he did not look good. You know, he did not look good in the preseason in very limited snaps. But he's at Buffalo, a Bills defense that doesn't look as scary as it used to, right? And if nothing else, you know, they'll probably be down. Home to Tampa Bay, okay, at Houston, at Cincinnati. So a mixed bag there with a schedule, but given the emergence of Donovan Peoples-Jones, the skill set of Amari Cooper, the fact that he's going to have a strong run game, and that he is Deshaun Watson, who gets you fantasy points with your legs, if you need a quarterback, if you don't need him right now, it's probably worth grabbing him and stashing him, even if you never use him, but just to keep him from somebody else in your league that might need a quarterback.
Yeah, he's obviously not going to be playing this week against Buffalo, but when he comes back in the Houston game, it's not the meanest.
Yeah, sorry, that's the upcoming schedule of the Browns as a whole. But you're right, he is not eligible until the Houston game in week 13.
Yep. So. Okay. We're going to go to break. When we come back, tight ends, including the island of Foster Moreau. All right, remember to download the RotoWorld app to receive breaking player news and injury updates delivered right to your phone, Matthew Berry.
Yeah, updates like Dallas Goedert's going to miss, you know, significant action. Update like Zach Ertz is out for the year.
Yep.
Updates like, hey, you probably need a tight end.
Yep.
Darren Waller's going to IR, which he did last week. So that means Foster Moreau, who should have had a second touchdown last week, it didn't, but a 16.5 target share in the four games Waller has missed. We like him the most, certainly this week at Denver. Isaiah Likely. We'll see if Mark Andrews comes back. John Harbaugh said sounded optimistic, but no Rashad Bateman. Likely, perhaps, is the number two pass catcher, even if Andrews is back. He gets the Carolina Panthers this week. How about Juwan Johnson, who's been a top eight fantasy tight end three of the last 4 weeks? He's had four touchdowns over that stretch. He's a talented player. Even with Trotman back, Juwan Johnson's been getting the love. And filling in for Zach Ertz in Arizona will be Trey McBride, who is a talented rookie they like a lot. Not as big a role since DeAndre Hopkins came back, and Marquise Brown should be back soon. But still, as you get down the list and you're desperate, Trey McBride would be our number four tight end today.
There you go.
Is that the end of the show?
It's the end of the show.
You have to go.
Yeah.
All right, peace out.
Yeah.
Justin and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Three great words. Free fries Friday. Especially when they're used in that exact order. Get a free medium fries with $1 minimum purchase.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Valid one time on Fridays at participating McDonald's through 12/31/24. Excludes tax, must opt into rewards.